Alex Jones. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 13th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host today. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment with a breakdown of today's news, and there is a lot of it. We've got an article here from, this is from the Drudge Report, give them a hat tip. The New York Times talking about Justice Breyer, one of the Supreme Court justices who is promoting a new book. He's going to be on the Colbert Late Show tomorrow night on CBS, the new show that Stephen Colbert has taken over from David Letterman. He's going to be pushing that book, talking about that book. Listen to the title of the book, The Court and the World, American Law and the New Global Realities. Because, you know, we have to not be so concerned about things that are in America, like the Constitution. We really need to make our decisions based on what the rest of the world is doing. That's essentially the thrust of his book. And as the New York Times points out in their article, he is someone who, more than anyone else, has voted with the majority this last year. So at 77, Justice Breyer really is the mainstream of thought in the Supreme Court. And what we're seeing, regardless of what you think about these different issues, what we're seeing over and over again is a court that, of course, legislates unashamedly, legislates from the bench. They don't really care what the laws are. They don't care what the Constitution is. They no longer see their job as interpreting the Constitution or the laws that Congress passes in light of the Constitution. No, they're there to reflect what they consider to be the wishes of the people. That's what we saw with the Supreme Court's decisions on marriage. It really wasn't a constitutional determination. They were basically, they threw in some issues out of, they threw in the amendment about some of the amendments after the Civil War that were set up to establish equal protection for slaves, to establish the legal rights of former slaves who were now free, to give them voting rights and other rights. They threw some of that stuff in. That clearly was not what it was talking about. Look, if you want to talk about Supreme Court decisions, just look at the abortion decision, where they said that the right to kill your child is a decision of privacy. Clearly, they're cherry picking and playing with the definitions of privacy. They could care less about your privacy when it comes to dragnet surveillance. They could care less about your privacy at the airport when the government sticks their hands on you and makes demands of you. They don't care one fig about your privacy. This is simply the straws that they use to reflect their personal agenda. And now they're saying that they're doing things that reflect what America wants. But now we're moving to the position where they're unashamedly talking about reflecting global values. And he even references how much of a crisis is created when some Supreme Court justices referred to foreign law as a basis for their decision in the past. It even brought up calls for impeachment, as it should. They took an oath to the Constitution, not to the French law, not to British law, not to German law, not to any other law, not to the UN's regulations. They took an oath to the Constitution. But of course, we've been seeing this going on for a very long time. What is different about all this is what we continue to see. The mask is coming off. They've tried to pretend that they're operating under the rules that we've had. They try to pretend that they are operating under the Constitution, which gives them their legitimate authority. If they had legitimate authority, they would be operating under it. When they get out from underneath the Constitution, they delegitimize their authority. But now they're doing it openly, just as we saw the mask come off with the NSA. There was an amazing article from James Clapper saying that the U.S. intelligence community, it's kind of like Spider-Man. He says, Spider-Man is known for his precognitive spidey senses. Well, many of our customers expect us to be clairvoyant when it comes to things. Interesting that James Clapper would talk about being clairvoyant, would talk about precognition, because James Clapper has been, from the very beginning, intimately tied into geospatial intelligence that looks at your activity, that tries to map you out in the human domain analytics. Now, the analogy to Spider-Man is, with great power comes great responsibility. And if you throw away the Constitution, you've thrown away your responsibility as well as your authority. Stay with us. Alex Jones is going to break down the news when we come back. We'll be right back after this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday, the 13th day of September, 2015. I'm your host, Alex Jones. David Knight is coming up to co-host on this live broadcast. YouGov poll, 29% of Americans would support a military coup. that was conducted basically by a West Point professor and others that were concerned. Trump says lightweight Rand Paul doesn't belong in the debate. Thousands flock to anti-migrant demonstrations in Eastern Europe. Top feminist says put all men in concentration camps. She writes for The Guardian. She's not joking. She says she's not joking. And end heterosexuality. That's been the plan the whole time. Psychopaths are running the world. Former U.S. Marine blows the whistle on Syrian false flag, exposes real agenda. GOP, defund Planned Parenthood, even if it didn't break the law. Well, it did break the law, and we shouldn't be funding it. Continuing, private property expropriated by German state for refugees. That's just some of the headlines up on Infowars.com. We'll be breaking down today. But first off, let's look at the, quote, migrant crisis, because within that you have a prism through which you can see all the spectrums of lies, the entire cacophony of fraud. First off, they're not migrants. A migrant would be, say, Bedouin in Saudi Arabia, who by law are allowed as desert people to just basically cross highways wherever they want, block traffic, do whatever they want. It's kind of like farmers are allowed to drive 10 miles an hour down the side of the road with their tractor because it's part of the culture, it's part of commerce, it's part of what was before. Okay, it's like Native Americans are allowed on their ancestral lands to basically do their own rituals and to engage in some of those ancient migrations. That is what a migrant is. People out of North Africa, the Middle East, Asia, you name it, coming in on boats, coming in on planes, driving in, walking in, carjacking, truckjacking, and then coming in by the hundreds of thousands per month per country and just demanding everything free is not a migrant. If I show up at your house and knock on the door and say, hi, I'm a migrant, and I'd like you to have me move into your bedroom, as they're doing in Sweden, telling them, how's the illegals? I would be an invader, and you'd laugh at me and say, get off my front porch. But see, if you're brought in by the government and put on welfare, given driver's license, voting cards, you're now a protected group. And it's wrong. I can't go to Saudi Arabia. I can't go to Syria. I can't go to Libya and get stuff for free. I can't have a baby for free. It's a fraud. And this is a political, admitted Cloward Piven plan to collapse the West, and it's working quite nicely. Okay? It's crazy. And then in Germany and in Hungary and in Romania and in France and in other countries, in England, in the UK, they're banning, quote, anti-migrant demonstrations. And if you poll even recent immigrants that came legally, they don't want this either. They're not crazy. They're running from the destabilization of the Middle East. And a lot of people argue, well, the West destabilized, you know, with all these wars, so we deserve it. I was against this. You were against this. Most of those wars were unpopular. NATO and others launched this attack on Syria, and these aren't even the Syrians we attacked that are coming in. These are the Wahhabists on record that are coming in. The very people who've been involved in the takeover, now they can't get the central government of Damascus. They can't get the last third of the country that has the biggest population, so they're out there with nothing. So they are refugees from their attempt to take over. They launched an evil revolution with Saudi Arabian forces and Qatari forces and others, with the West backing them. This has all been declassified. Defense intelligence head, the general went public. Deputy head of the CIA went public this week. Everything we told you years ago, now I'll admit it, because we have the sources. And so that failed. So they won't try to go back into Iraq. They're getting kicked out of there. So they're coming here, which, again, is the clash of civilizations. Destabilize the Middle East, put their forces in, and then just have them go around raising havoc, and then call them angel cakes when they come here. Just like 4 years ago with the attempted overthrow of Egypt, they took out our old ally, put in the Wahhabists again, the Muslim Brotherhood. They went around enslaving, blowing up churches, murdering people in mass, killing tens of thousands. I remember watching Anderson Cooper of the Central Intelligence Agency say they're freedom fighters. This is wonderful news, what's happening in Cairo. You all saw that. So they've done this. Problem, reaction, solution. Now they're flooding the West. Now we're going to get into some other stories here in a moment, but it all ties together to the very same central system of ending the fact that human families and communities are self-sufficient. That's why the family has to be destroyed. That's why foreigners have to be brought in to destabilize things. That's why free speech criticizing globalism has to be banned by authoritarian EU. That's why demonstrations in England against radical Islamic groups calling for murder and bombing are banned and people are arrested. because they cannot allow people to ever stand up. The greatest crime in the UK is defending yourself when someone's trying to rape your wife in your own home or stabbing somebody who's robbing you in your own home. You're thrown in prison. The criminals are turned loose. If a criminal falls through your skylight, you get sued, you lose your home. That's real cases because they've got to be worshipped. They're allied with the state. They're part of the destabilization. They're part of making things so bad, you just give up. So that's why it's important to have your own garden. That's why it's important to have your own friends and neighbors. It's why it's important to have your own cook stove and not let them ban basic agrarian activities and wood stoves that's happening from Australia to the United States to Germany. It's a system, again, of serfdom, of feudalism with a high-tech upgrade. That's what's happening in 2015. It's called Agenda 21. It's a worldwide treaty. Now, before I get back into this news, I wanted to tell you why I'm not doing the show today. This happens to me every 3-4 years. I'm a big swimmer, a big open water swimmer. I'm not like Olympic or anything, but I can swim 3, 4, 5 miles easily. And I like to swim in creeks. I like to swim in rivers. There's been a lot of rain lately in Central Texas. I came out here on Labor Day last weekend to visit some friends and was jumping off their 2.5, almost 3-story dock into the water, and a bunch of water I didn't think shot up my nose. And I thought, oh my gosh, last time that happened, I got real sick and it got into my lymph nodes and my whole face like a chipmunk swole up. You probably see it's swollen, the lymph nodes, you name it. I almost didn't do the show Friday. These were so swollen. I began taking colloidal silver a couple days ago, and it's really helped. The last few times I had this happen, it happens again every 2-3 years, they would say, oh, it's bacterial. I'll go to the doctor. They give me antibiotics. It wouldn't go away for a week. Whether it's the colloidal silver or not, this time it's gone down 30-40% in the last couple days, a lot quicker than the last time with antibiotics. And so I am taking, this is a plug at the same time, but it's a true story. I actually didn't have enough of this at home, and I went back into the office today, and then I called Buckley and I said, let's shoot a video about this, because here I am getting colloidal silver because I've already used up the bottles I had at home. And I don't tell you to do this. This is what I personally do when I'm getting rid of something. It's great topically as well. It's classic antibiotic, but consult your physician. This is just my personal opinion and view. When I have an infection, I drink a bottle over 3-4 days. And I told the story. Well, Buckley's shooting the video. He remembers it. I hate to bring it up. He'll probably tear up. But it was 1.5 years ago that my uncle died of a respiratory illness. I got it while I was there. My dad got it, was sick for 2 months. I don't know why I didn't think colloidal silver. I was going to get an antibiotics. 2 different rounds didn't work. I drank 2 bottles over a week, so did my dad, and we got better. And, I mean, this was the worst infection of my life. And I just want to thank God that I got healed and thank God that we have natural things like a silver bullet. And I'm not saying it's the ultimate silver bullet, but it's the closest thing in my life I found to a silver bullet. We're going to go to break here. I'm going to have David take us out. And when we come back, I've got a little bit more other stories I want to cover. And then we will throw things to David so that he can continue with the broadcast, take your calls, have some guests on, and more on this Sunday worldwide broadcast. But that's why I'm not here today. And it's important to rest when you have something like this. I may not be in tomorrow, but David will do a great job. But I'll also tape some reports. I feel okay, but these bacterial infections are not something to mess around with. Thank God it's not an amoeba. You know, Lake Travis's people die almost every year with these amoebas when it gets up above 90 degrees in the water. It's cooled off now, so it's safer. Almost every year somebody dies. And I just think they're migrants. I mean, they're not invading bacteria. I mean, I have smaller ones, is what I have right now. So I guess they're smaller amoebas that are in me, but not the big ones that eat the brain, get into the sinus. That's how these got into these smaller bacteria. And I just, they're not invaders. They're migrants. They're here loving me. They deserve to come in. They deserve to do this. And if they kill me, you know, so what? I mean, they deserve a home as well. So I salute the amoebas. Sorry, guys. Not going to do too well. I want to be clear. A amoeba is a giant single-cell bacteria, the biggest. I have little bitty bacteria. I don't have amoebas. But the point is that it's the same deal. And so these are migrants right now that have my head swole up.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
in defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge...
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 13th, 2015. I had to think. Friday was September 11th, today's the 13th. We've got a lot of news coming up in this broadcast. We've got a Supreme Court justice who's now pushing a book that says we should take a global view of law. We know they haven't had the Constitution in mind for a long time, and now they're openly talking about how we need to take a globalist view of this. We've got Lindsey Graham saying the conditions are ripe for another 9/11. There you go. You know, that story has been around so long that it has gotten ripe, and it stinks to the high heavens, anybody that's taken a look at the facts of it. But it may not, it's not always going to come around in the same way. What may happen this time may be the release of a Department of Defense bioweapon. We've had some very, very troubling news that's come out yet again. There's every couple of months we find out about a massive loss of control with weaponized viruses and diseases. And yet, again, this is happening. We see this happening over and over and over again. Another expose, we've got a report on it on Infowars.com as well as a report from USA Today, because there's a reporter there that's been very good at following these kind of releases. They bring in the deadliest bacteria. This time it's the Black Plague and other pathogens. They weaponize them. They call them select agents. This is militarized, folks. This is what the Department of Defense is doing, along with the CDC. They militarize these deadly pathogens that are not native to our area, and they weaponize them. They call it gain of function. That's Pentagon speak for making them more deadly and more easily transmitted. We should be very concerned, because they're also extremely lax in the way that they handle this. They're constantly getting out of their biosafety labs, even shipping them in standard Federal Express shipping containers, which is what we're seeing happening yet again. So maybe that's the way the next 9/11 is going to come. And of course, we could always conveniently blame it on the terrorists. Whether it is an accident or whether it is deliberate, they will use it that way, folks. And of course, we've got Donald Trump joining forces with with Senator Sessions against the TPP, perhaps. That would be a very welcome thing. I don't agree with the rationale that Donald Trump has put out. Maybe he's doing that to walk a political line. But if he opposes it, I will take it any way it goes. So we're going to talk about that. I find that to be a very hopeful sign. And of course, John Boehner, one of the people who supported Fast Track for Obama trade, he supported Obamacare in reality. Why wouldn't he support Obama trade? And in fact, he did. And we now have some congressmen like Justin Amash who are talking about why they should oppose the Iran agreement, because he says this is a treaty and it needs the votes of the people. We have a constitution. Remember that? Remember where we started? The Supreme Court Justice Breyer says that we need to take a globalist view. The constitution doesn't matter to any of these people anymore. That's why they can do something like the transatlantic or transpacific partnerships, which are really treaties, and say, we don't need to go through the constitutional process to do it. Well, they're not going through the constitutional process with this agreement with Iran. And whether you're for the agreement or against the agreement, you should understand that we don't want to be ruled by dictators. And that's precisely what they're saying with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Many of the people who oppose it say, look, like Donald Trump, he says, I don't necessarily oppose a trade agreement like this, but I don't want Obama negotiating it. Well, everybody can say that. We don't want to have a nation that is ruled by the dictates of one individual. That's called a dictatorship. We have this in every area of our government now. Remember, when we're talking about the rules that the NSA broke when they did Dragnet surveillance, we had the generals, Hayden, saying, well, I didn't need Section 215. I had a direct order from the president. I had a direct order from the president. That trumped everything. We know what that kind of government is called. It's called a dictatorship. We have a dictatorship when it comes to national security, of course, because everything has to lay down for national security. That trumps everything. We could care less about individual liberty anymore. I mean, this has gotten to be an Orwellian world that we live in, where safety equals war, just like Orwell's peace equal war equals peace, that type of thing. That's what they're selling us. You can never be safe, people, if you give up your freedom. You're then a slave, a prisoner. Prisoners and slaves are not safe. You're never safe. The only way that you can ever hope to achieve safety is if you put liberty first. You cannot trade away your liberty for security or for safety. But we see that coming at us over and over again. And I want to go back to what Alex Jones was talking about in the last segment when he was talking about the massive influx that is happening throughout Europe, or as we may soon be calling it, Eurabia. That was Mark Stein's term for it, and I think it's clearly going to fit. He was talking about a demographic change in the sense that Europeans were not reproducing anymore. You take a country like Italy, where they used to have the highest number of children per family, well over five, and now it's well under two, which means that they are cutting their population almost down to one, which means that their population gets cut in half every generation. So if you have any immigration from Muslims who do have a high number of children in their family, then they are going to very quickly take over the demographics. But now it is accelerated quite a bit. So let's talk about that. Before we do, I want to let you know that this hour of the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by BrainForce. We've just got a new shipment of BrainForce in from our manufacturer. You can find that at InfoWarsLife.com. Both listeners and the InfoWar crew can't stop talking about what BrainForce does for them. I take it regularly. I've noticed a real difference with me when I take it. And so it's something that I do all the time, take it regularly. Unlike some energy drinks and supplements, things like just taking caffeine, BrainForce uses natural brain activation ingredients like yerba mate extract and alpha GPC. BrainForce on InfoWarsLife.com already has hundreds of five-star reviews that you can read for yourself, along with all the other research and information. Let me read you one of those reviews that's on our site right now. And that's a good way to determine wherever you're buying products. That's one of the things I like at Amazon.com. I can see people's reviews of the product there, and we've done the same thing here. Here's Lydia from Bedford, UK. She says she takes 1 to 2 tablets a day. She finds the clarity of thinking has increased massively. So do I. Another one by Blue from Gainesville, Florida. He says, at first I was skeptical because I didn't notice or feel an immediate difference. But after 3 weeks of daily use, I started to feel razor sharp in the afternoons after taking BrainForce while eating lunch every day. On days that I did not take the supplement, the intensity was not there. Bottom line, it works, and I have reordered it. And of course, you can take a look at the ingredients. You can do your own research online. You can look at the comments from people on InfoWarsLife.com. And again, we have BrainForce in. Get it while we have it in supply, because it went out very, very quickly when we first introduced it, and for good reason. Now, Alex was talking about this massive crisis that's going on in Europe. Germany has been the centerpiece of where everybody has been going, because Germany is really the victim of political correctness, quite frankly. They've become so sensitive, and rightfully so, based on what happened with World War II, that they are so eager to prove that they are not like Hitler and the Nazis, that they bend over backwards to take everyone. But you know what? They can't do it. It's not possible. When we come back, we're going to talk about the emergency controls that have been put on in Germany and why. How people in Europe and Munich are saying, how can we cope? They can't cope. We'll be right back. Talk about it. Stay with us.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me. My misfits way of life.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 13th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host today. As we begin the show, Alex is breaking down the news about what is going on in Europe, the massive uncontrolled immigration. Well, I talked about it on the nightly news on Friday night. I talked about the barbarians at the gate, and that's what we're seeing with Western civilization. And that's not that's not calling the people who were fleeing the war that we created in Syria. That's not a reference to them. I'm talking about the way the Roman Empire came down. When people invaded the Roman Empire from outside, those who were there no longer really cared to maintain the Roman Empire. They were fed up with the corruption. They were fed up with the oppression. They really could care less. That's an element that you see right now, but this is also part of political correctness. We see people, as I mentioned when we were going to the break, in Germany, they are so concerned to show that they are not anything at all like Adolf Hitler, that they will destroy themselves and commit suicide as a nation in order to show how caring and compassionate they are to other people. You can do that without destroying your nation, but they're very concerned about political correctness. And now the suicide pact is political correctness. I understand the popularity of Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a white male. He's actually even rich. And you know what? He's not ashamed of any of it. Maybe he shouldn't brag so much about it and he would not be as offensive to so many people. But people are so sick and tired of the cowering, of the false shame that's being imposed on people, that Donald Trump comes across as very powerful, as the antithesis of all this. And of course, people are fed up with the corruption in government. But this is also something that is being manipulated by the elitists, by the globalists who are trying to create a world government. This isn't just a breakdown of society like it was with the Roman Empire. They have already engineered out and have been working for several decades. Going back to the 1950s, we had the plan for the European Union, for the euro. And of course, economic crises, these kind of immigration crises, and the partnerships that we see that are being collected, they are all part of this globalist plan that we can now see very clearly. We've been telling you how this was designed, how it was engineered. Most people don't want to read the books that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote. They don't want to look at the mission statements of the Trilateral Commission, three different blocks around the world that they are now creating so that they can then combine into the next step of global governance. They don't want to look at the blueprints. They don't want to look at the plans. They want to pretend that none of this stuff happened. I'm not listening is what the media says. But we can see that it is now playing out. Let's take a look at specifically what's happening now. As you can see that B-roll of the massive influx of people coming in. The people in Germany want to help these people that are suffering severely in this war that we created. But they say, how can we cope? Munich is overwhelmed by the record influx. And as they're saying, scenes of Germans waiting at the Munich station, carrying refugees or welcome banners, clutching teddy bears to give weary children their long journey from war and persecution, have also become endearing images of an unprecedented migrant crisis hitting Europe. This reminds me of the teddy bears and Glenn Beck going to the border saying, I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna help the massive influx of children who have been able to make this journey across Central America through the drug cartels and the terrorism that's going on through that very dangerous thing. These eight-year-olds made this journey, so I want to be there at the border with teddy bears for them. I mean, do you really believe that? Does Glenn Beck really believe that? Do his viewers really believe that these eight-year-olds made this journey? Is he really just enabling human trafficking? See, that's the thing. We can have compassion for people, and there are things that we can do that make sense. But there are things that we can do that don't help them in the long run and destroy us in the near term. If you fly on a plane, as I just did on vacation, what do they tell you if the oxygen masks drop down because you've got a problem? They say, first, put it on yourself so that you can help other people. It's not being selfish. It's being rational. You have to be able to maintain your consciousness. You have to be able to survive before you can help other people. We can help other people in their countries. We've done that sort of thing in the past. One of the ways that we can help them is by not creating massive civil wars for our geopolitical purposes. That's what our elites have been doing. We create these wars and we say, well, this is a humanitarian issue now. We need to be able to help them. Again, from the Daily Mail, we can't take anymore, they say. Germany stops all trains from Austria as they reintroduce border controls and temporarily suspend the Schengen Agreement. They say Munich has become the main entry point. It is now at the breaking point. Remember when Nancy Pelosi went to the border? She said, I wish we could take everyone, all these children. Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi, first of all, has not adopted a single child. Let's understand that. In spite of all the millions of dollars that she has ripped off the American taxpayers with this corrupt system of government that we have, saying that she's doing it in public service, she hasn't adopted a single child. But there's a reason that she can't adopt all of these children personally. With all of her money,
With all of her power, Nancy Pelosi cannot adopt thousands of children. And you know what? The United States taxpayer cannot adopt an unlimited number of children, regardless of where they're coming from in the world. And that's what we were saying. It wasn't an anti-Hispanic thing. It didn't have anything to do with where they were coming from. We know that there's a massive influx of refugees from China. We're going to have a massive influx from the Middle East. It's the number of people that are coming in. It isn't who they are. We all wish that we could help them. Of course, there's that wonderful story about the guy who's walking along the beach with all the starfish that are on the ocean. And they've washed up and they're dying. And one guy walks over and he picks one and he throws it into the water. And another guy says, what are you doing? You can't save all these starfish. And he goes, I can save that one. I can save that one. We can do that individually. We can do what we can. But we as a nation do not have infinite resources to take everybody in the world here and make them our dependents. And of course, people like Nancy Pelosi are not going to be spending any of their money to take care of these people who are coming in. So where is all this going? We've got two different ways that this is being reported. USA Today takes a look at those who are holding welcoming rallies. They talk about there's tens of thousands of people in London, Madrid, Athens, Budapest, Lisbon, Warsaw, Geneva, Sweden, all part of the solidarity movement supporting the refugees. Fine. Will they bring them to live in their home? Will they adopt them? Or will they put them on the public trough and forget about them and go back to work the next day? Now, the Hungarian prime minister, and there's several of the Eastern European countries who have recently joined the European Union, and they know what it's like to live under deprived conditions. They were living under the former Soviet Union's thumb for a very long time, and they do not want to return to those harsh conditions. The Hungarian prime minister, Orbán, said there is no fundamental right to a better life. You understand that? There is no fundamental right to a better life. He says there's only a right to security and human dignity. Why do we have governments? In the American system, we had governments. We were created to protect our rights. Remember the Declaration of Independence? We have certain inalienable rights that among these are blah, blah, blah. Okay, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. And when they become destructive of those rights, it is our duty and our right to destroy or alter those governments. That's what the Constitution is about. That's what our form of government is about. That's what we said when we declared our independence. We said, this is the purpose of government. It is to secure our individual rights. Now, Obama was a constitutional lawyer. He understood and he actually talked about the difference between concepts that we've called positive rights and negative rights. Positive rights say that you have a right to something. I have a right to food. I have a right to shelter. I have a right to education. I have a right to all these different things. That means somebody has to provide it for you. That was not what our country was formed on. He knew that. Our country said we have a right to be left alone and we have a right to have a rule of law. Stay with us. We're going to continue with this when we come back.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. As we've been talking about in this hour, we're talking about the massive immigration crisis in Europe. I pointed out it's like the barbarians of the gate with Roman Empire. We see that many people in Europe are willing to commit suicide because of a guilt that's been foisted upon them by political correctness. In the United States, we see in a recent poll, this is an article that's up on InfoWars, we're going to talk about that coming up, we have a third of Americans would support a military coup. This is how bad it's getting. The forces are there for a massive, massive disruption in the West. Because, of course, the West needs to be taken down for the globalists' plans of what they want to create. That's the only obstacle in their way for global governance are the Western nations. The rest of the countries are already too weak. They've already been taken down by colonial powers, by massive exploitation, by continuous war. So now they need to import that unrest that they've been creating. And of course, these massive refugees that are flowing out of Syria, that is a direct consequence of our long-term planned foreign policy in the area. You want to talk about how we need to get rid of Syria and Iran? What about Saudi Arabia? They're attacking Yemen in a bloody war with massive civilian casualties there. This is a regime that beheads more people than ISIS does on a regular basis. You carry a Bible in there, you're going to go to prison or worse, far worse in many cases. This is a repressive regime, but they're our allies. Saudi Arabia. We aren't worried about Saudi Arabia. We're worried about Saudi Arabia's enemies, Syria and Iran, who are not currently invading anybody, any of their neighbors like the Saudis are. But of course, we have to destroy that regime because that was our plan of operation. Going way back to what Wesley Clark was talking about, he said, we got this country, and it was Syria, then Iran, and so forth and so on. They had their list. We're going right down the globalist checklist. They're executing the plan, checking off all of the boxes on their plan. We've been telling you about this, and the reaction from the mainstream media is like, what plan? I don't see a plan. Go read their books. Go read what Zbigniew Brzezinski said in 1970. The elites liked it so much, they put him in charge of the Trilateral Commission so they could consolidate the world governance into a European, an Asian, and a North American bloc and then consolidate those into a global governance. This is where it's all going. Can't you see the plan unfolding now? Can't you see the fact that the unrest that's in the West is something that is right before our very eyes? You need to prepare for yourself. At the very least, there's unrest that is coming in. Prepare for your own. We have InfoWars Life Select that's powered by Patriot Pantry, a new line of storable food. We've just introduced it. We have some great deals on it. I tell you, I was just traveling. We should have, of course, we went on vacation before this started. I should have gotten some of this stuff and just taken this with us on our road trip because a two-week food supply, $80, that is incredibly cheap. A four-week food supply, $156. They're exclusive slimline totes. You can use it for space-saving packaging. All the packages have Ziploc, so nothing goes to waste. And there's no MSG, no autolyzed yeast extract. It's all U.S. ingredients. It's not made in China. This is made and packaged in the United States. It's not grown or manufactured in China. It's not packaged in China. It's all packaged in the United States. It's got a 25-year shelf life and on and on. You can find this at InfoWarsLife.com. This is a special introductory offer. Incredible prices that we have right now on InfoWars Life Select. That's storable foods offered by Patriot Pantry. Now, going back to the immigration crisis, again, we were talking just before we went to the break about the reports from USA Today, talking about how in the established Western countries of London and capitals like London, Madrid, Athens, Budapest, Lisbon, Warsaw, Geneva, Sweden, they have massive rallies in support of the immigrants. And of course, we all understand what's going on there. We all want to help them. But nobody is addressing the root cause. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But then in other countries, and I don't know, getting conflicts here because Warsaw is in Poland. Poland is one of the countries, the four countries, where there is massive opposition to this unlimited inflow of refugees. It's the Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary. What they're concerned about is the fact, and here's the smoking gun again, the fact that this is being foisted upon them by the European Union. The European Union is trying to force nations into accepting unlimited amounts of these refugees. And they're not having it in those four countries. They're having counter demonstrations of tens of thousands of people in those countries. Look at what's going on in Germany. This is an article from Infowars.com. Private property expropriated by the German state for the benefit of the refugees. Now, we've already seen this back in May. In Sweden, the Migration Board in May in Sweden evicted elderly residents from the Millmark Center outside of Torsby, according to a Swedish language daily newspaper. The residents were told that there were plans to make the property an asylum accommodation for refugees. So if you're a retired person in, in Sweden, and they said that they are going to take care of you. They're going to give you these benefits. They've made that social contract with you. You depended upon that. And then things change, and they throw you out of your home. Quite literally, threw them out of their home to make way for the refugees. That's one of the reasons, they say, that the anti-immigrant parties in even socialist Sweden are leading in the polls. And, of course, the same thing is happening in the UK and France and Germany and Austria and other places as the current crop of political leaders do everything they can to subjugate their citizens, to treat their citizens as second-class citizens, to take non-citizens and make them the preferred people because they are the ones who are going to do what they're told. And, of course, it's going to foment unrest within the country, something that they desperately want to have. This is why you see Donald Trump soaring in the polls, because people understand where this is going. Nevertheless, you don't see Donald Trump or many of the others going back to the roots of this crisis. We cannot forget where this came from. This came from a Syrian civil war. The current crisis is a Syrian civil war, which we have been working on for nearly a decade. Starting in 2007, the U.S. was already in the process of engineering the overthrow and destruction of all prevailing political orders across the Middle East and Northern Africa. This is from New Eastern Outlook. Exactly true. The headline is Social Engineering 101, How to Manufacture a Refugee Crisis. And of course, we've been telling you this story at InfoWars for a very long time, how the U.S. has engineered this, how they've been meeting with people. For example, John McCain, we've seen all the pictures of John McCain shaking hands with people. As I point out here, he posed for pictures with terrorist leaders from Libya. Libya, and you know, 9/11 was the anniversary of Benghazi, not just the attack in New York. This last Friday. You didn't hear too much about that, did you? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there'll be something in these latest Hillary Clinton emails, but we'll talk about Hillary Clinton in a moment. Nevertheless, Northern Africa and the Middle East, that's exactly what they were saying. So he met with leaders in Libya, he met in Syria, and now one of these guys that he was meeting with, remember we talked about it at the time, we knew they were terrorist leaders. This isn't any revelation. They've now openly come out, and one of them is now the head of ISIS in Libya. That's not a surprise. We told you. They were already terrorists when he was meeting with them. It isn't blowback. It isn't even bad public policy. This is by design. You need to understand that. It would be bad enough if it was just bad policy, if we were just failing in our policy. And, of course, the troubling thing is that we see many people, as Donald Trump began to walk back his comments saying, yeah, you know, I'm against people coming across the border uncontrolled from Central and South America, but we need to bring in those people from Syria because it's a humanitarian crisis. And then he started to walk it back, and he said, well, if I was president, I think what Obama did wrong was he didn't finish off Syria to start with. All that would have done is make the crisis happen even sooner or in a much larger. We don't need to go to war with Syria. They're not attacking anyone. We are the aggressor in Syria. Let's understand that. We walked this back multiple times here at InfoWars. We pointed out multiple false flag attacks. Remember the sarin gas attacks we talked about? We said they're trying to start a war. It got traction. We had people in the military saying, I'm not going to fight for Al-Qaeda. We had Ron Paul, we had Rand Paul, we had Dennis Kucinich saying they were not going to be the air force for Al-Qaeda. People understood what was happening. We stopped them once. We stopped them twice. They continue to press this. They created ISIS, and now we have this massive refugee crisis, and we're told that we have to let them overrun our countries. We need to stop the wars. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're going to cover some news at the top of the hour. We're going to have also a report from Alex Jones joining us in this next hour with a special report about the article that Paul Watson put up about a top feminist saying that all men need to be put in concentration camps. She hopes that heterosexuality doesn't survive. Yes, that's the brave new world that they're preparing for us. We have to understand that at the bottom rung of society, brave new world is really what we're looking at. Aldous Huxley's vision of an authoritarian government that operates based on controlling the population through hedonism and sensuality, the kind of distractions that those involve. Basically just keeping them doped up and happy with bread and circuses, essentially. If there's a group that opposes them, however, if there's somebody, the people who are awake, who are paying attention, who have issues with things, those people are going to get the Orwellian 1984 treatment, the boot in the face. So we see both aspects of those novels, those classic dystopian novels, operational today. Alex Jones is going to be talking about the Aldous Huxley aspect of this. He won't be putting it in that vein, I don't think, but he's going to be talking about this report of this idiotic feminist who wants to put men in concentration camps. It's just absolutely insane. Some of the other things we're going to be talking about in this hour, of course, are the massive numbers of people in America who would support a military coup, according to the latest poll. 29% of Americans polled said they would support a military coup. We have another article, Psychopaths Are Running the World, says a former Marine. We're going to talk about all this, as well as a West Point law professor who resigned after posting an article in an academic area saying that we needed to attack anyone who does not support the war agenda. This is the kind of oppression against free speech and free thought that is very, very dangerous. And of course, it's interesting to see that they forced his resignation. We've had former West Point professors. Remember the professor a couple of years ago who was talking about the hypothetical scenario in South Carolina where he allied the Tea Party people with Islamic terrorists? This is somebody who had been teaching at West Point for years and years. He was retired. This guy was just beginning to teach at West Point. We're going to talk about some of the things that he said. We're going to talk about the openness of the American people to a military coup. Certainly something that I don't want to see. But there's also another military story that's laying here. And that is the massive mismanagement, again, of dangerous select agents that have been brought in. These are deadly viruses that have been brought in to be made even more deadly, even more easy to transmit. That's called gain of function. And we've had yet another shocking mishandling of this. This time it's the Black Plague, as well as an equine, a couple of different strains of equine encephalitis, which are incredibly fatal, very high rate of fatalities for humans who get it. Also, Sanders is now leading Hillary Clinton in both New Hampshire and Iowa. A big lead, as a matter of fact. In New Hampshire, Bernie Sanders is leading Hillary Clinton by more than 20 points. That's 52 to 30% in New Hampshire. In Iowa, he's leading her by 10 points, 43 to 33. Her campaign literally is collapsing. We saw that the backdrop of the stage there waiting for her to come on. We saw that fall over this last week. That was a wonderful metaphor for what's going on. And it's encouraging to see that there is a blowback against the corruption, against the lies that we've seen from the Clintons for a very long time. This whole idea that she thinks that she is above national security. National security has been the cover for everything criminal that the government does. And yet here's somebody who violates every tenet of national security with her private email servers, and she's given it a pass. Here's what's interesting. About the same number of people support Hillary Clinton that support a military coup. What does that tell us?
Stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, September 13th, 2015. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment with a special report about a crazy feminist who wants to put all men in a concentration camp and hopes to end heterosexuality. Now, of course, we could just dismiss this as her incredible delusions, but there is a widespread movement throughout academia to sell this and has been for many decades. It is part of the suicide of the West. We see this unfolding with the open borders that they cannot bring themselves to oppose because they don't want to be accused of being xenophobic or racist. They're being told that we have white and European privilege, but that other people have rights. Think about that for a moment. You understand when we use those two terms, when we talk about privilege, when we talk about rights, you understand, of course, that rights are something that you fundamentally possess, but a privilege as your nature as a human being. That's why we had the Declaration of Independence talking about these rights that we get by nature of us being human. But when we talk about privilege, we're talking about licenses and special things that are given to us by a government or someone who grants this privilege to us. And that, of course, can be taken away at any time for any reason. You don't have a right to move around in this country. We're told that our driver's licenses are a privilege. Didn't used to be that way. My father was driving when he was 8 years old. As soon as he could reach the pedals, my grandfather gave him the keys to the car. And it used to be, in America, you didn't have to have a passport to cross the borders into a country. You didn't have to have the permission of your masters to move around within the country or across the borders. But now you do, because now everything is a privilege that is granted to us. We don't have fundamental rights unless you're from outside of the country. If you're somebody that the government prefers, then they give them rights, but you still get the privileges. So we need to understand where this is all coming from. Another couple of articles that are up on Infowars.com that I think are very telling. Drone policing in the U.S. is seen as, quote-unquote, the Wild West. That's what the ACLU calls it. They say interconnected drones could enable mass tracking of vehicles and people in wide areas. Oh, of course they could. That's precisely one of the reasons why they're doing it. There is a massive amount of really high-powered drones that are being used by the Bureau of Land Management, the beloved BLM, the people who tried to steal the land from the Bundys, the cowboys. They went out and they were successful to stealing the land from the Indians with John McCain in Arizona, trying to take land from the miners, trying to overturn mining agreements and property rights that have been in existence since the 1860s, 1850s in many cases. That same agency is mapping out vast areas of the West with these drones. And of course, it isn't just because they're taking inventory of what they perceive to be theirs and they will make it theirs. This is also part of population control. They want to know everything that you're doing. And along those lines, we reported on Friday about the digital pill. Remember, it was on the Drudge Report, the pill that they can monitor and understand if you have, they can track it to make sure that you're taking your medication. You know, the Nurse Ratched thing, you know, medication time. Have you taken your medication? You know, you're not going to be able to slip it under your tongue and then spit it out. They're going to monitor it with this digital device. Now, there's another article that came out today from, this is from Popular Science, embedded 3D barcodes to ensure that the pills are real. So we need to make sure that the pills are authentic. We need to make sure that you have taken your pills. What's going on with this? Being suspicious as I am of people in government, I would say that when we look at mandatory insurance, which is unconstitutional, there's nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government any power to mandate insurance, to define what level of insurance we have to buy from the crony capitalists that have donated to Obama and to Mitt Romney. But they mandated our insurance. They're removing our informed consent when it comes to vaccines. They need to have something electronic because, you know, you can shoot the vaccine in. That somebody else does that to you so they can know. They can check off the mark that they have shot that into you. But if they give you a bunch of pills and they want you to take that on a daily basis, they have to have some way to make sure that if they're mandating medication for you, that you're taking it. And, of course, to be able to inventory it to make sure that it's genuine and not a counterfeit pill as well. And, of course, I understand the genuine concerns. I understand that there's massive problems with
with everything being counterfeited in China. That's part of the China price. That's something that China has been doing for a very long time that gives them an economic advantage over other people, and that is counterfeiting. And that's a real danger. When they make things in China, then, of course, some criminal people in China can take that same packaging, and they do this, that same packaging, and make fake products. We've seen situations like disc brakes that weren't made out of brake material, or they were made out of paper. And then people put them in their brakes. They can't tell the difference. Their car, their truck crashes, and they bought this from an American company, and the packaging all looked authentic, and yet it was a counterfeit. It was garbage. And so not only are the American companies or the other companies that are manufacturing this stuff in China and getting ripped off of that, not only are they losing the sale of this, people think they're buying something authentic and they aren't, they're then facing liability issues. So I understand that Big Pharma wants to make sure that people aren't counterfeiting their pills. Nevertheless, when we see embedded 3D barcodes to ensure that pills are real, when we see patents to make sure that we've got digital pills to know whether or not we're taking our medications, and if they hadn't been throwing informed consent under the bus so heavily for the last year, then I wouldn't be so suspicious. But when we see a government that no longer believes that you are a human being who should make your own decisions about your health care and about the health care of your family, I find it very troubling to see all of these types of controls being put on pills. Now, I want to get back to what we were talking about, some of our main thrusts here. We were talking about the massive immigration that's coming in the West. I've mentioned several times about the poll. It says many people are supporting would support a military coup, about 29% of the people in the United States. We have an article up on Infowars.com. Psychopaths are running the world. A former U.S. Marine blows a whistle on a Syrian false flag, and he exposes the real agenda. And he did this a couple of years ago. I want to play you a clip from what he said a couple of years ago, because this guy lays it out for you. What's going on with this?
First off, all of these players, these politicians, are nothing more than puppets. They don't serve the people. There is no real democracy. They really serve the rich and powerful who run the world, and that would be the bankers who control the money supply. The bankers, of course, make huge amounts of money. Whether they make bad investments or not, wars are great for them, and ultimately they control the politicians, and that is why we see these policies. Obama and Cameron are nothing more than puppets who read the script, and the script is, we need another war. And the reason why we need another war, according to these psychopaths who are running the world, is because more and more people, despite the clueless masses who continue to be entranced by things so ridiculous as X Factor and American Idol, there is larger numbers of people around the world who are realizing the truth and beginning to recapture the capacity to think for themselves. And they can see that these people who are being put in positions of public trust are defying that trust and representing an agenda which they could never speak about openly, because they're nothing more than prostitutes and nothing more than minions for the powers that be.
Very well said. And of course, as a former Marine, Ken O'Keefe. He is now an expatriate. He is now a citizen of other countries because he's so concerned about what's going on in America. And as he points out in further remarks, he says, we don't operate under law. We have a law of the jungle in which the rich and powerful basically determine what goes and what doesn't go. And that's what we're seeing happening here. He says the so-called war on terror is nothing more than a well-planned strategy to be in a perpetual state of war, to destabilize the region for the greater Israel plan. Precisely. And, of course, for Saudi Arabia as well. It is the Saudi-Israeli axis that is running this. It's not the Syrians and Iranians that I believe pose the greatest threat to us. They're not the ones, or to the region, certainly they're not the ones who are fomenting war. It is the United States and our allies who are escalating things. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time.
Alex Jones back, breaking down some of the latest news and developments. Paul Watson has an article and a video up on Infowars.com titled, Top Feminist Says Put All Men in Concentration Camps. Journalist also hopes heterosexuality doesn't survive and is inherently a bad institution. That's what I've explained here. I'm not against, or I don't hate people who have other sexual preferences. Quite frankly, I'm not obsessed with it. I think it's a football issue. But the larger situation behind it is not just bread and circus, not just a distractionary political issue from other bigger issues. It's the fact that, as we cover in my film Endgame 1.5, an online update, the university papers are clear from the 60s, the plan to not just get women all in the workforce so the state raises the kids, but to then start breaking up the family itself. And if you're able to do that, it's game over. And this lady, in multiple articles that Watson quotes and in other statements, says, hey, I'm serious. Men need to be put in re-education camps. Heterosexuality is bad, period. Men are bad. I hate men. And you can go read her quotes, and this is probably one of the top 10 so-called feminists out there. And if you look at these top feminists, they're all the same, just power-crazed weirdos that look like men themselves. And so I guess she needs to be the first person to put herself in a re-education camp. But this is the state and social engineers getting in between not the oldest human institution, the oldest institution of life is reproduction between male and female. Whether it's insects or fish or amphibians or mammals or marsupials, it's not sexist that the duckbill platypus is male or female. It's not bad that I breathe oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. It's not bad the sky is blue. These people literally are the biggest con artists on earth, in my view, because they triple and quadruple down and just say, we're going to tell you how to talk. No more he, she, no more man, woman, no more husband, wife, because it hurts people's feelings. We're going to tell you no more sports in schools, no more contact, no more tag, no more dodgeball, no more competition, because that hurts somebody's feelings and somebody loses. These people are scientifically creating a culture of jellyfish that can be overwritten and destroyed. And once the family, the basis of the nucleus to set up a camp, to set up an operation, a good camp of gardens and farming and machine shops and working with others, once that human basic building block has been destroyed, the globalists have taken over. And I've said this hundreds of times, I'll say it again. If I was an alien species studying the planet Earth from afar, like looking at microbes under a petri dish through a microscope, this is exactly how I take down the planet, how I take down humans. And I would also come in with genetically engineered plants so that plants wouldn't reproduce anymore. I would come in and fundamentally change the atmosphere with the chemtrailing, with the geoengineering. I would fundamentally do what we see happening. And the truth is, I don't believe it's space aliens carrying this out, but it's humans that are psychopathic, served by sociopaths, who hate goodness and hate the basic order of the world and want to play God. And that's what they're doing. They destroy the environment with glyphosate and GMO and then tell us carbon dioxide that plants breathe is bad. And we've all got to be tracked and taxed because we're all guilty. They radicalize Islam, bring it into the West to rape, kill, and murder, and then arrest anybody protesting against it. Again, it is an upside-down reality. And these people know they're totalitarians. They know they're hateful. They know it's social engineering. I've read their textbooks. I've read their writings. I mean, I remember 15 years ago, 16 years ago, being mailed a copy of the major textbook used for social services in college. And I showed it on air, and people didn't believe it. And it said, the family belongs to the Dark Ages. The family belongs to prehistoric times. I mean, I'm quoting it exact because I've quoted it so many times. Dark Ages, prehistoric times before that, it must be eradicated. So when Melissa Harris-Perry gets up on MSNBC in a promo and says, we got to get over the idea that your kids belong to you, they belong to, you know, the collective or the state, you've got to understand, folks, they mean business. They mean to forcibly inoculate you and your family. They mean to force you to eat GMO. They mean to open our borders up and raise our taxes and track everything we do with all smart this, smart that. But if we turn against this as a civilization and as a culture, it's game over for the New World Order. Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are the front lines of fighting these hardcore tyrants who set themselves up and say, we want equality. We want to be nice to you. We want to do as we say. And then as soon as they get their police state in place, they go, take over, revolution. Get rid of the police, you know, world government. Get rid of men. Get rid of father and mother. Get rid of brown bags. Do what we say. We're in control. And it just keeps doubling and tripling down, and people say it's over the top. But this is the point. It's the Overton window where they move it so far towards insanity that it just changes our whole perspective. And folks tend, if the lie is so big, to just submit to it. That's why we got to be hardcore and point out how sick they are to pull it back and get through this learned helplessness or the mass Stockholm syndrome, the term I've coined. Stockholm syndrome, of course, was discovered back in the, was it the 60s, where a lady was kidnapped and they ended up serving the kidnappers. But it's been around forever. That's just a clinical term for it, where people tend to adapt to their captors. And women are wonderful, resilient, smart creatures, but they're designed more than men to adapt into oppression. That's what slave boats coming in from West Africa or with the Romans when they'd bring in slaves out of Germany. The handbooks have been written. So they would always just kill all the men, the old, men 13 and older, generally, the Romans would kill them. The Jews considered you to be a man when you were 13 as well. So the Romans did as well. In the old world, it was 13, not just in Israel. And they'd kill everybody 13 and up. That's why you always hear about Pharaoh says, kill all the male child. You know, I mean, it's the state is a bunch of powerful men. Pharaoh's a man, but he understands that it's a bunch of young men that are his problem. And that's why they're flooding Europe with mainly 90% combat age, military age men, is these will be the leftist jihad force with the left getting in with radical Islam to bring down the West. This is the ultimate false flag. Back to David Knight, InfoWars Sunday broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time with a weekday broadcast. And then coming up Wednesday, we kick off the 28-hour broadcast Wednesday through Thursday. It's going to be amazing. Most of it's live. We're airing three different documentaries we've put together, one with Larry Nichols, another inside the Vatican, and another that's a surprise. So this is a big 28-hour broadcast coming up. Find out more at InfoWars.com/moneybomb or InfoWars.com/show, and you are the folks that make this entire transmission possible. InfoWarsLife.com as well. Take advantage of some of the specials there and know your funding, the very tip of the spear. Thank you. I salute you.
And again, as Alex has just pointed out, the plans to take down the family is nothing new. It's nothing new and unique to feminism. That's something that architects of authoritarian societies have always proposed. Going back to Plato's Republic, taking a look at Huxley's Brave New World, they always need to destroy the family. You need to protect your family. You need to protect your health. And, of course, this hour, The Alex Jones Show has been brought to you by the products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com. One of those that's now back in stock is Brain Force. Unlike some energy drinks and supplements that just rely on caffeine, Brain Force uses natural brain activation with ingredients like yerba mate extract and alpha GPC. Get it while it's in stock. You can find it at InfoWarsLife.com while supplies last. Give your brain nutrition, not just stimulation. We'll be right back.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We're living on the
edge. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. This segment I want to talk about something we touched on a little bit earlier. Liberty versus licensing. You know, when they give you a license, when they give you a privilege, they can take that away at any time. They can control everything that you do. They deny that you have certain inalienable rights, whether it's moving about freely in the country or whether it's engaging in a business. I always thought it was interesting when I had a business that I had to buy a privilege license. Every kind of business has to get a privilege license. And I said to my wife, you know, it's interesting. Having a business and working is a privilege, but collecting welfare is a right. Doesn't that seem kind of upside down? Here we've got a situation. Personal trainers, they say, are sweating as Washington, D.C. readies new rules. When I first saw this from Reuters, I thought, whoa, are they going to, is Washington now going to try to license all personal trainers? Well, not just yet. This is something that is just the city of Washington, the District of Criminals. They're saying that the capital city is preparing to regulate personal fitness trainers in a move that could ripple through the country's booming $24 billion gym industry and its fight against FLAB. You know, that's the key right there. $24 billion. That's a lot of money. And I can guarantee you that the politicians want to get a piece of that action. Yeah, it's just like the mafia. That's the way they operate. And they go through the old streets of New York and they see a guy with a business and they say, you know, you got a great business here. It'd be a shame if anything were to happen to it. Why don't you pay me for some protection money? And of course, they're going to protect you from themselves, okay? That's what they're getting protection from. And so now they're saying that they have to take personal trainers and they have to license them. Look, understand, the personal trainer could have you do too much exercise or could have you do an exercise that's inappropriate for you, whatever. Caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Take a look at this guy's credentials. Get to know them. If they're telling you to do stuff that's not comfortable for you, don't do it, whatever. But you could make this argument about anything. You could make this argument about the guy who's mopping the floors, that he needs to have a federal license from the government because he might leave the floor wet and not put up a sign and somebody could fall and become paralyzed. And I'm sure they could get have a congressional hearing where they could parade people before congressmen and say, yes, Sally slipped on the wet floor and she broke her back and now she's living in a life of misery and paralysis. And so we need to license all floor moppers from the federal government. And so this is where this is all headed. But let's look at something else that is going to hit us all much more directly. And that is our ability to move around without the government's permission, without making it a privilege. Now, you may think that it'd be great when you have a self-driving car. We know that the head of Uber has said that eventually everybody's going to be driving around in the cars that he owns. Private ownership, he says, is going to go away once we have autonomous driving cars. It'll go away for everybody, of course, except for Uber CEO Travis Kalanick. Okay, he's going to own all the cars. He'll be the only one with private ownership of cars. And, of course, he'll be operating it in conjunction with the bureaucrats in a kind of fascist economic system. Because that's what it is. Crony capitalism, let's call it what it is. It's fascism, okay? It's economic fascism. They're not waving the flag and doing the kind of stuff that Hitler did. No, economic fascism says that, you know, you got this agreement between the corporations and between government. They have private property, but only for the privileged. And those people use it in a way that reinforces the power of those who are rulers. That's the kind of crony capitalism that we're going to have in this country. And of course, what we're looking at with our transportation system. Now, the Uber CEO was just on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He just began this last week, and he's had a very powerful lineup of guests in the last week. I want to play you this clip when Stephen Colbert talked to him about concerns that people had in the competition between licensed taxi drivers and Uber, which doesn't have to get a license from the cities that they operate in. Here's what the Uber CEO said.
Taxi driver spends $40,000 a year renting a car. That should be a Bentley that you're riding around in. But instead, it goes to a taxi owner who owns the license to own and operate a cab. In the Uber world, you can use your own car. You don't pay $40,000 to rent a vehicle. You make more dollars per hour, and it's flexible.
That is one of the most dishonest things you'll ever hear from anybody. He says you have to pay the taxi company. If you're a taxi driver, you got to pay the taxi company $40,000 to rent that taxi. And, of course, all that money goes to the taxi company. That is a lie, and he knows it. Taxi medallions are something that the taxi companies buy from the local governments. And, of course, it is incredibly regulated. It has been a nexus of corruption in most of the states. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen so many people who typically support free markets and siding with Uber. And I think they're wrong to do it. This is not the jitney taxi situation. Many, many years, many decades ago, we had situations that arose in minority communities. They were called jitney taxis. And these were dangerous, perceived to be dangerous minority neighborhoods that the regular taxis, the licensed taxis, would not go into. And so you had some entrepreneurs, some minority entrepreneurs who said, I'll provide a taxi service to the people who live in my community. I'm not afraid. I live here. I'll do it. So they created these jitney taxis. They were not licensed, okay? They didn't have a big Wall Street backer behind them like Uber, but they were not licensed. They didn't buy these expensive medallions from the city of New York for $40,000 a year. They were driven out of business, even though the other companies didn't want to go in there, because the government is a protection racket. It wants everybody to operate and buy their licenses from them. And when he talks about the $40,000 license, that is really disingenuous and a lie. Stephen Colbert did not call him on that. That $40,000, I don't know how much the taxi license is, but the bulk of that is going to go to the city. Now, ask yourself, why is the city of New York not charging Uber for those licenses? Time is up, because they want Uber to take over all private transportation and set up a control grid. Government has been trying to control our transportation, especially starting in the inner cities, for a very long time. That's what all these boondoggle rail systems are about. They want to control our transportation. This is something that goes back many, many decades. Our interstate system was essentially set up initially so that the military could use it to move about quickly, just as Hitler created the first Autobahn, the predecessor to our system, so the military could use it. It's always been about control, maintaining control and making sure that they're in control, but also controlling the population. They use it to enforce a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. That is nothing compared to what's coming down the pike. When we look at Agenda 21, they want to confine people into small areas inside the cities. This is a United Nations agenda for the 21st century. One of the ways you're going to do that is to make sure that people can't easily travel outside of those areas. You're going to make it difficult for them to do that. You're going to make it difficult for people to live in the suburbs. They hate the suburbs. They want to concentrate people because it works to their control. And if they can get a CEO like Uber to be Uber the regulations, above the regulations, above all transportation, to own all private cars, that is precisely what they want. That person, then, they can deal with. That's somebody that they can control, they can make arrangements with. That will be a way for them to control your transportation. And of course, if they have a highway grid where they're constantly monitoring your cars, seeing how fast you're driving, where you're going. I mean, we know that the government wants to know everything about us. They want to be able to tax us by the mile. There's so many different aspects of this. But we've even seen them selling the idea that Uber's taxis are going to save the planet because somehow they're going to use less carbon dioxide than regular cars do. So the fix is in. And it's kind of interesting because there's also this other side to Uber where you've got now an article from WND, kidnappers and perverts are posing as Uber drivers. Because you don't see the marked taxi, people are using their personal cars essentially. How do you know? You call Uber and a guy pulls up, they see somebody who is looking for Uber and they just say, yeah, that's me. And then they get the kids into their car, and that's what we've had happen several times. But what's really going on is Uber is posing as a free market solution, and it is nothing of the sort. They're being given, for the time being, a special entry into this market, giving a competitive advantage because they don't have to pay those licensing fees. And you need to ask yourself, why is that happening? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 13th, 2015. I'm David Knight. This is our final segment of the show. Now, of course, today is the cusp of a couple of Jewish feasts. They have the year of Jubilee is just ending, and the time celebrating that, and we're about to go into another one, the Feast of Trumpets. Of course, the year of Jubilee was a great tradition, actually part of the Judaic law that God gave them in the Old Testament. 49 years, every 49 years, they would release people from their indebtedness. People who were indentured servants, and of course, they called them slaves, but they didn't have the kind of perpetual generational slaves that we have had in the West, like we had in the South prior to their emancipation. They would be people who were indentured servants. The people, many people came to the United States that way as indentured servants, so they have to work that off. But every 49 years, they would be released. These people were free. That's why they called it the Year of Jubilee. A lot of people see these biblical prophecies, the Hebrew calendar. We've talked about this repeatedly on the InfoWars show, as well as many economic forecasters have seen the cycles that have been repeating with this. This is an article out of the Salt Lake Tribune talking about Mormons who are stocking up. Say some Mormons are stocking up amid fears that doomsday could come this month. They say, of course, they're called preppers. Oh, that's a new term. We haven't heard that before, have we? They're buying up food storage kits, they say, flashlights, blankets, tents. Some are even bracing to leave their homes if need be. At one of these places where they're selling freeze-dried food, they say sales have shot up 500% or more in the past couple of months. They say there's a sense of urgency, like something is up. A lot of people are mentioning things about September, like a financial collapse. And we've had multiple economic forecasters predicting that, independent of any biblical prophecies or whatever. So there's a sense that we need to prepare. And of course, we always need to be prepared. Nobody has done this better than the Mormons historically. They have always collectively come together with food storage and other things to prepare for what they perceive might be emergencies. But now it's taken on a new sense of urgency. Interestingly enough, we have set up at this time a new product line. At InfoWars Life Select, we have storable food that we're doing in conjunction with Patriot Pantry. Again, this is excellent packaging that you'll find. It's exclusive slimline totes that you can use for space-saving storage. All the packages have built-in Ziploc bags, so nothing goes to waste. It's a very, very high-quality Mylar container. The container is very important because this food can last up to 25 years of the shelf life. And this is without MSG or any kind of autolyzed yeast extract. These are all U.S. ingredients. It's packaged in the U.S. It's grown in the U.S. It's made in USA, and we sell it here at InfoWars Life Select. You can get a 2-week food supply for just under $80, a 4-week food supply for $156. There are great prices there. This is all part of the introductory pricing. So it's a good time to get this. It's always good to be prepared. You can never be over-prepared. And this is something that can last you for a very long time. One last thing I'll tell you about this. These are balance kits. They have breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks. If you get a 3-month supply or greater, you get the most variety. Again, that's InfoWars Life Select. Those are Patriot Pantry storable foods that you can find at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, let's get to the horse race aspect of the presidential race. Of course, we're going to have the debate this Wednesday. At the same time we kick off the InfoWars Money Bomb, we're going to be covering that debate and commenting on what happens with it live. We're going to be doing, I think it's 27 hours, live broadcast marathon beginning on Wednesday at 11 o'clock and going through the next day. And right in the middle of that, we're going to have the next presidential debate that's going to be carried at CNN. And of course, Rick Perry did not make the debate. He dropped out on Friday. Here's a clip of Rick Perry as he dropped out, what he had to say.
I would rather one state get it wrong than the entire country. And that's our point with the 10th Amendment. Today, Washington has discarded that 10th Amendment. It's been centralizing government for generations now, failing to meet the test of leadership. It is time for us to elevate this debate from divisive name-calling, from sound bites without solutions, and start discussing how we will make the country better for all if a conservative is elected president. Today, I submit to you, his will remains a mystery. But some things have come and become very clear to me. That is why today I am suspending my campaign for the presidency of the United States.
So there you go. As I guess he would say, you won't have Ronald Reagan to kick around anymore. Seriously, though, the discussion that he had there at the beginning of that about the 10th Amendment, that was very valuable. I wish we had those kinds of discussions on the debates. You won't hear those kinds of questions most likely asked. Instead, it will be, how many jobs are you going to create? Do you realize how idiotic most of the presumptions that the mainstream media has? Of course, we're all going to be safe and secure. We're going to achieve peace through having multiplied wars. Right? We're going to create war everywhere so that we can all be more secure. We're going to give unlimited access to a secretive closed police state so we can all be more secure. And, of course, we're going to give all power to Washington. That's one of the messages that Rick Perry had out. I wish he had gotten traction for that message. That was an important message. But we hope that the CNN debate will not be along the lines of the Kelly debate going back and forth with personal attacks on people that we saw with Donald Trump. Hopefully there'll be something that is of substance and not just a celebrity Big Brother, because that's what this is really boiled down to. This is really about a reality TV show. This is the way that Fox News has done it, and I don't expect anything any different from CNN. I expect to hear the same tired litany of issues repeated over and over and over again in all these debates, and they don't have anything new to say. And there's going to be a lot of issues that would affect limiting the power of central government. You're not going to hear those talked about. You didn't hear the 10th Amendment talked about, as Rick Perry pointed out. Here's what Donald Trump has to say about Rick Perry leaving.
Mr. Perry, Governor Perry, he's gone. Good luck. Oh, he was very nasty to me. But, you know, yesterday I put out a tweet. I said he's a wonderful man and I wish him well. People couldn't believe. But, you know, when you win, everybody's wonderful, right? And I think he's won. I think he's actually a nice guy. But he dropped out. So we have a total of 16 people. People don't have energy. I don't think Ben has the energy. Ben is a nice man. But when you're negotiating against China and you're negotiating against these Japanese guys that are going to come at you in waves, and they think we're all a bunch of jerks because our leaders are so stupid and so incompetent and so inept, we need people that are really, really smart and competent and can get things done. We need people.
Let's leave it right there. Where would they ever get the idea that we've got leaders that are incompetent and stupid? Well, I mean, this is not a contest. We see them demanding loyalty oaths from Donald Trump in the first debate. I would like to see some loyalty oaths to the Constitution. How about that? How about a gotcha question on the Constitution? Can they name one amendment and what it's about? And they don't exclude the First and Second Amendment. Can you name one other amendment that is in the Bill of Rights and explain what's in it? You don't even have to quote it. Just name one other one. I mean, that would be what I would ask them. But, of course, we're not even going to get to that level. We're not even to the level of a junior high school civics class here. This is talking about people's energy. Yeah, he was very mean to me. He was very, he's somebody I'm glad to see him go. Well, here's where the latest horse race is at this moment. We've got, as I mentioned earlier in the program, Hillary Clinton, fortunately, is dropping on the Democrat side. Bernie Sanders, I'm not any big fan of Bernie's, but I'm glad to see Hillary, she needs to be going to prison, as we have the InfoWars t-shirt that says Hillary for prison in 2016. That's precisely where she needs to be, not in the White House, but in the big house. She is down by 20 points in New Hampshire to Bernie Sanders. She's down by 10 points in Iowa to Bernie Sanders. And the thing to me that is amazing is that with all of these issues, with all this arrogance, is that she still has 30% support in those two areas. That is pretty amazing to me. Of course, there's not that many people running on the Democrat side. On the Republican side, it truly is like Celebrity Big Brother. My wife didn't know what that program was, and I've never watched it. We've never watched these Big Brother programs. I had explained to her that, you know, one guy leaves every week or something like that, you know, and they put that out. I think it was a deliberate predictive programming by the BBC to get people accustomed to the idea that, hey, I could be a celebrity if I get into this kind of voyeuristic social media and I put my life out there on social media. And of course, that is what we've been living with for the last couple of decades, is a kind of, I want to be a Big Brother celebrity. And who better to do this than a TV personality like Donald Trump? And of course, he's leading in the polls. We'll be talking about that more this week. Stay with us, and we'll have debate coverage this Wednesday as part of our InfoWars Money Bomb beginning on Wednesday.